This episode of Creepy Kingdom is brought to you by Bat in Your Belfry. Bat in Your Belfry is a collection of original macabre art and art pieces, with many Haunted Mansion and Nightmare Before Christmas-inspired prints available. They also have pieces inspired by Harry Potter, The Witch, Edgar Allan Poe, Chernabog, Krampus, and so much more. Check out Etsy.com/shop/Bat in Your Belfry and use coupon code CREEPY to get 10% off your order. That's Etsy.com/shop/Bat in Your Belfry.
Monster Movie Media presents.
And welcome to episode 98 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the spookiness of Disney and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, Shannon McGrew from NightmarishConjurings.com joins us again and gives her spoiler-free review of the 2016 live adaptation of Pete's Dragon. And after that, we'll be coming to you live from the Not Scary Farm preview event. I will be sharing audio from that event, as well as a clip of a conversation I had with John Cook, one of the design specialists for Not Scary Farm. And if you are unaware of what Knott's Scary Farm is, you're going to learn about it today. I'm here with the owner and editor-in-chief of NightmarishConjurings.com, Miss Shannon McGrew. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. You know, what's funny is we're pretending like we don't know each other.
I know.
But I asked you to come on Creepy Kingdom to talk a little bit about a film you just saw, but just take a little step back. Why don't you talk a little bit about Nightmarish Conjurings?
Sure. It's a horror website. We review all things horror, scary, creepy. Whatever you can think of, we'll probably review it. Movies, books, haunted attractions. We're primarily based in California, but we have people all throughout the United States reviewing for us.
Oh, right on. And talk to a little bit about what your Disney fandom, I guess. Like, what you know, what's your take on Disney?
I've been a Disney fan ever since I can remember. I grew up going to Disney World with my family. My grandparents lived there, so we went. Well, they didn't live in Disney World. They happened to live in Florida for a period of time, and we would go once or twice a year to visit. So I've been to Disney World probably upwards of 50 times. I've been to, you know, all the parks there, and I grew up just loving it. I wanted to originally be an animator for Disney, but never followed through on that. But I definitely have a soft spot for most Disney things.
Most.
Not Frozen.
Yeah, well, that's pretty divided in the fan community anyways. Frozen's pretty polarizing.
Yes.
So it's not too shocking that the person that runs the horror website is not a Frozen fan. But we're not going to get into that right now. But you had the opportunity to see the remake of Peach Dragon, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. It's going to be spoiler-free. In the future, we'll get into this. I will say, I haven't seen it, but I've only seen the trailer. The trailer didn't really look too good to me. I thought the idea of it, I wasn't too excited about. I mean, the original Peach Dragon, I probably haven't seen it since I was a kid, and you know, I remember liking it, but I think I just liked it because there was a cartoon dragon in the real world. I think that's like what I liked about it, you know, like, and that's all I really remember about it. So when they said they were doing this, I was just like, oh, here comes another one, which I'm not going to harp on. I've harped on that a lot on the show about the live action remakes, but you did see it. And
yes, I did.
You know, you're going to be helping us out and sharing some of your opinions on the show as well as in the written word.
Yes. I went into this film with pretty much the idea that I was going to hate it. I haven't seen the original Pete's Dragon in ages, probably since I was a kid. I thought the trailer looked stupid. I was just not on board at all.
Wow.
And I just didn't want to go see it. I had the opportunity to go see it with a friend of mine for free. So I was like, well, not many things in this life are free, so I might as well go. And, you know, I was pretty determined to not like it.
Oh, so you went into it like negatively. So
yeah, I went in being like, I'm not going to like this. It's stupid. I'm not going to like it. And, you know, I was completely blown away. It's probably the best Disney movie I've seen all year, if not the best Disney live action film that I've seen. It really just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what, I couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was that really made me love the movie so much. I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, this desire to have a puppy, and Pete's dragon was like a giant puppy, and I was just like, aw. Or like the kid was adorable, and the story just like, it was just solid, and everybody that acted in it was solid, and it was just really, it was touching. It was heartwarming. I even cried, and I never cried.
What?
Like, I was like,
the
my
queen
friend
of horror cried.
Yeah, like my friend handed me a tissue, and I was like, it's okay. I just have the sniffles. And she was like, just take it. But you could hear people crying all throughout the theater. Like,
what is going on in this movie?
I know. It was like, it was so bizarre. And like, I'm not a nature person. I don't care about forests. I mean, I don't really, like, want to go hiking or anything. So, like, going into the film, and I was like, oh, God, the main chick is a forest person.
A forest person.
Whatever they're called.
Forest dweller.
Like, yeah. I was like, ugh. I'm like, they're just trying to like bank off of Jungle Book because like this kid's in the,
right,
you know.
Let's take, I want to interject right there, actually, because the trailer kind of seems similar to Jungle Book. So when you, and I'll take another step back too. You said that this was the best Disney film you saw all year. So
yes.
Out of those films, I've seen them with you.
Yes.
That was Jungle Book.
Correct.
Zootopia.
Correct.
Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Correct.
And I think that's it. I'm not
yeah,
counting Marvel.
Yeah, we haven't seen Finding Dory yet.
You haven't seen Finding Dory or BFG.
Right.
I think those are the two other films, if I'm not mistaken, that have come out. So just to be clear on what we're comparing, or what she's comparing it against. Again, I haven't seen it. But yeah, then when, you know, when they see the kid coming out of the wild, you know, it's just like, wow, that really is reminiscent of the Jungle Book. So how does it not feel like the Jungle Book when you're watching it?
I mean, I wasn't really sold on the Jungle Book either. I was just like, oh my God. Like,
you mean before you saw it?
Before I saw it. Yeah. Like, I've never been a huge Jungle Book fan. Like, I like the Jungle Cruise, but I've never been, I've never been like a Jungle Book fan. So when the live action Jungle Book movie came out, I was just like, whatever. And then, you know, I saw it with you, and I was still pretty much like, all right, whatever.
Wait, so you weren't impressed with the Jungle Book movie? I thought we were in agreement that that was a really good movie.
I mean, I probably said it just to like say it. I mean, like,
what? Come on,
No, all right.
You're lying. Like, you were really impressed with the Jungle Book movie.
I was impressed with the CGI. That was incredible. And I was impressed with the acting of the kid because it was essentially the kid, like, by itself, like, with the CGI
by
and everything.
Itself.
So I was impressed from a technical standpoint, but I was just like, I don't care about the Jungle Book. It has nothing. It doesn't do anything for me. It was okay. Like, it wasn't the worst movie I've seen, but I was just like, you know, I was pretty much like, all right, whatever. It was probably a little bit better than I thought it was, but it wasn't like, I wasn't like, oh my God, my life has changed.
I'm not saying this life has changed. To me, I thought it was really good. Like it was really solid good. Like, wait, not only was it way better than I expected it to be, which really wasn't, I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. I thought it was suspenseful. I thought it was creepy, since this is Creepy Kingdom. I thought there was some really intense moments.
Well, I think that's a good segue into another part we'll have to come back to, is that Pete's Dragon is dark.
Really? Because it doesn't look dark at all. Like, not one bit. That's the thing I want to know.
Yeah, it got dark real fast. And I was like, all right, we're going there. So that's cool. So, I mean, I was like on board with that. I mean, but going back to the Jungle Book thing, you know, seeing the preview for Pete's Dragon, it was very similar to that of Jungle Book. And not really caring about Jungle Book, I just assumed I wouldn't care about Pete's Dragon. And it does have some similarities because, you know, the kid is in the forest with a dragon.
Right.
But I think the difference is that this just had way more heart. And it was way more, like, I don't want to say believable because there's a dragon, but like,
oh, well, there's talking animals in the Jungle Books.
Well, yeah, they're talking animals. There was just, and they say it a lot in the movie. They use the word magical and, you know, pretty much talk about the dragon. And I would say the movie is too, there's just something about it that I think really captured the audience. I think there's just, it had a lot more depth and a lot more heart, and you know, it dealt with some pretty heavy topics,
such as
loss,
like death, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very early on in the film, abandonment, loneliness, you know, family divided, selfishness. There was like a lot of things going on in that movie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And there was a few times where I was like, kids are watching this. Like, oh boy. Like, I don't know if they got it, but like, it dealt with some pretty, you know, heavy topics.
Hmm. Well, like I said, I can't remember what was in the original one. So I don't remember, you know, it maybe went over my head. I know the last time I saw it was like when I was a kid. And it might have even been in the theater, you know. Steve.
Yeah, I kept getting it confused with Puff the Magic Dragon, so I don't know. I was all over the place.
Peach Dragon, Puff the Magic, you know, they both start with P. Yeah, I got it.
But it is, it's a lot darker than I think people realize going into it. And, you know, I think for somebody like me who writes about a lot of horror-related things, the darker it is, the better. So I was pretty much on board with it from the get-go. Maybe not the get-go, because I was still, like, in my stubborn stance of, like, I'm not going to like this movie. So it probably took me, like, 20 minutes before I finally realized that it was spectacular.
Wow, and that's crazy. I was really surprised to hear your reaction.
I know.
Because, I mean, at the same time, I'm not, because it's weird. So the Disney films, those are the ones that we mentioned. Those are the ones that we've all seen. I thought the trailers were horrible for all those movies.
Yes.
Alice ended up not really being that good. So that delivered on the not on the Not So Good trailer, which we did a whole episode on Alice in the Looking Glass, so I don't need to harp on that. But particularly Zootopia and Jungle Book, I thought just was not really that interested in,
yeah,
in the by the trailer. And, you know, I probably the same thing, like, for both Zootopia and Jungle Book, like, within minutes, I was on board with the film. Like, as it starts, like, oh, okay, here we go. we're like, this is awesome. And they delivered. So, and then again, a lot of those, Zootopia didn't really get too dark. It was more of a deeper message. It wasn't really creepy.
Right.
Either way, you know, the trailer just didn't deliver on those things. But at the same time, these movies are super successful. So obviously they're trying to market to people that are not like us or the listeners of the show.
Right.
and it's working because these are breaking, you know, box office records and, you know, and just raking in the cash. But they're actually good movies.
Yeah, so. I think they're doing this whole thing where they're just not giving anything away and they're just banking on the fact that they're Disney. And I give them credit for that. I mean,
it doesn't always pay off, though. You know?
It doesn't it's always pay off. But I think if you don't give anything away and then right out the bat you're getting like 80-90% on Rotten Tomatoes, people are going to be like, what? Like, it's, you know, I think their tactic is working. You know, I saw Jungle Book. I thought it was better than I expected. I saw Zootopia. I thought it was better than I expected. A little overhyped, but better than I expected. And this one just, I thought was the best out of all of them.
Wow. All right. So what are your other thoughts about Peach Dragon?
I just think it's just a really great movie. I think, you know, I know a lot of people, myself included, had a problem with the fact that the dragon was fuzzy.
Yeah, I've been vocal on that on social media.
And I think that in the beginning of the film, I was pretty much the same. I was like, what the heck? Why is this dragon fuzzy? And then, like, I kind of got it, like, because it's like a chameleon. So it changes in its surroundings. So if it's living in the forest with all these lush green trees,
it looks like leaves. Is that what you're saying?
To me, it kind of like that's what I took away from it. Mm. Others may not, but like it was able to change itself into like to look like a log. Like, so for me, it was like, all right, you're around grass and you're around leaves and trees and lush greenery. Like, so it didn't bother me. And then it just made me think of a little puppy. So I got over it.
A little puppy.
you get lost in the story, and that doesn't seem as important anymore.
Okay.
But that's what I took away from it. I thought that it just was what its surroundings were, and that's what it was.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on Peach Dragon before we get to some of what our listeners thought about it?
No, I would just urge everyone, if you're on the fence about going or if you're not sure, for somebody like me who watches 99.9% of the time horror films, if I went and I loved it, there's a good chance that, you know, you will probably love it as well. Just make sure you bring Kleenex because... Yeah.
And you're going to be writing a print review of this film for us?
I will be, yes.
And when this one, that one will have spoilers, right?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Or not, I don't know.
Yeah. Sure.
So I know it's hard to talk with spoiler free, but I don't know. You do it all the time with your reviews, right?
That's true, yes. To be very careful.
Well, right on, right on. Well, I put out there on social media asking what people, if they saw it, whether the movie's creepy or not, what they thought about it. And we got a few responses. So, at KFC Man 13, KFC Man, right on, Cole. It's like, yeah, if anything, Elliot is cute. I saw it a few days ago.
So I guess that means it's not creepy. He's cute. You said he was like a puppy, so obviously you agree. Friend of the show, someone who I've the pleasure of running into around Southern California, so at many a different Disney events. Rick, Captain Nemo 86, said it was really a great movie. We saw it tonight and loved it. I was skeptical before going in, but it won me over.
Oh, shout out to Rick! Yeah.
And let's see. Let's take a trip to the citizens of the Creepy Kingdom. And see if there was anything that was said there. It was quite, there was a lot of conversation going on about it. Oh, you know what? That's another thing I should point out, too, there. At this point, I haven't seen the film, but I did go see the exclusive sneak peek that was at Disney California Adventure, which was about 10 minutes or so of the movie. And all I really got out of it was that I can't get past how furry he was. Like, it didn't really impress me at all. So that's why that was another reason that I'm still kind of like, I was surprised by your response of the film. I'm just like, I mean, I guess I'm going to have to check it out, but
yeah,
the sneak peek was not a very good one, to say the least. and I wrote, and when I posted about it, that I didn't like the furriness. And Joshua Schaefer posted this thing that's a Disney fun fact that said the director explained why Elliot is a furry dragon by saying he'd rather have the kind of dragon you really want to give a hug than the Game of Thrones type of dragon, which he described as cool but scaly and cold.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I was like, oh, I don't, like, if there's a dragon, you want it to be cool and scaly and cold, whatever. Like, you don't want a huggable dragon. Like, well, let me rephrase that. I don't want what is a generic huggable thing. Like, you know, a scaly cold dragon, you can hug that too, right?
I guess. I mean, Daenerys does it in Game of Thrones.
Okay, I was like, you're saying words I don't mean. I don't know what you're saying. Ryan Grulich, executive producer of the Foolish Mortals documentary, left the comment that said all lives matter.
Of course he did.
And then I replied with not furries.
It sounds about right.
Michael Goldtrap, he wrote, Elliot's not the first to post a picture from the Never Ending Story.
True that.
And then I wrote, valid point, but Falcor looks old and wise.
Also true.
So, but if anyone else has seen it and wants to chime in, you know, definitely reach us on social media, especially if you are a citizen of the Creepy Kingdom. That's our private Facebook group, which you could join by asking for their approval. And if you're not spam or a troll, you'll get in. But yeah, all right, cool. But so, you know, we usually don't like to give like these full spoiler-filled reviews of films, so like way after they come out. Just, you know, so you know, we'll probably will do that a little while, probably after it comes out on home video or something like that, and unless we're so inspired to do it sooner, but I don't know. But I guess we all got to go see Peach Dragon, huh?
Yep. Get on it.
This episode of Creepy Kingdom is brought to you by artist Emma Moiser. Emma's amazing Disney and Haunted Mansion inspired art can be seen in the official t-shirt of the Doom Buggy Spook Show and on her signature blends of tea called A Swinging Wake. Get your very own Hatbox Ghost print by visiting society6.com/Emma Moiser. That's society6.com/Emma Moiser. EMMAMOSIER.
So I'm about to share some audio of a conversation I had with John Cook, one of the design specialists for Not Scary Farm. And immediately following that, I'll be sharing audio from their live presentation, which was recorded on August 25th, 2016, where they announce what
attractions, what mazes, what shows, what scare zones are coming to Not Scary Farm in just about a month. We start our conversation with John discussing why he thinks the Haunted Mansion played a big role in Not Scary Farm coming to be.
The Haunted Mansion opened a few years before Not Scary Farm's first year. Why do you think that is? Because I think I think the Haunted Mansion primed the market for an event like this.
Really?
It really got people like, I'm obviously way before my time, but I can only speculate that people here at Knott's were looking at the reaction to the Haunted Mansion and being like, it's a given. It totally, to me, you know, probably kicked off this whole acceptance of all this spooky, fun horror stuff in the theme park environment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
so what year was the first Scary Farm?
Oh man, 40. This is horrible for me not to know this.
Sorry,
I'm looking for the story. I just saw the Knott's historian around here.
Because the Haunted Mansion was 69.
So I believe it was 73 or 74.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just a couple of short years after. I don't know. That's horrible. I didn't even know that. But you know, and it started off small. It started off with just a show. They brought in a personality called Seymour. He had a stage show, and then they started, you know, kind of decorating the rides, and they started bringing in actors, and it snowballed into this crazy event 40-something years later.
Wow. Yeah. So, and one of the things that I think I know a lot of Disney fans like that is definitely at Not Scary Farm is the immersiveness.
Yeah,
of the mazes.
Just creating scenes, creating sets, you know, and that's the end goal. Same thing with any ride. It's getting people to forget for a split second they're in a warehouse and that they're in this environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's things that theme parks do really well with the rides, and that's something that we're constantly striving for, immersiveness.
Yeah.
Whether it's the haunted hospital or, you know, the zombie apocalypse, we want people to forget even for a split second that they're in this world.
And I think you guys accomplished that pretty well.
Thank you.
One of the mazes last year, which you're bringing back, was Voodoo, which again, that's a bit, you know, Haunted Mansion tie-in because that's in New Orleans Square in Disneyland.
Yep.
I truly felt like I was in the swamps of Louisiana. It was hot. I had just gone to New Orleans like a few months prior, so it was all fresh in my mind.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think that maze, what sets that maze apart so much is that's what it is. I mean, you're in that set.
Yeah.
There's no haunt walls, nothing like that. We built a forest with a little township on top of water, on top of a bayou. And,
yeah.
And I think the oddly hot year we had last year helped a little bit with the humidity.
It was really hot.
You really felt like you were in the south, definitely. Yeah.
I loved it. I loved being able to kind of walk through the graveyard part of that, and so much fog and just people appearing out of thin air. I'm like, where did they come from? They literally,
awesome.
There was nobody here, and
good
now they're in my face.
Good
yeah,
job,
no,
monsters.
Yeah, they were excellent.
That's a tough room to scare into in there. Yeah, they worked it.
Although there was one when you go through someone's house and someone comes out of the closet or something, the actor came out in front of the person right in front of me. And it just, like, I'm like, if that was me, I would have lost it. Because it just, out of nowhere, just someone just jumps in or just,
yeah.
It's just so unexpected.
You know,
your face.
What's weird about that, too? If you look at that room, the doorway's right there. It's not like you can't see it, but I think the set decor in that room is so, like, captivating. Like, you forget there's a doorway, right?
Yeah, because on the other side of the room, the guy's sitting there watching TV, if I recall.
Yeah. It's all about distractions.
Yeah,
you know?
So you're looking over there, like, oh, I always want to know, what did they put on the TV, you know?
We filmed our own Cops episode.
No way.
Cops with a K. with our security guards, yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. Love it.
That's great. So if somebody was coming to Not Scary Farm for the first time that had never gone to any haunts, that's loves Haunted Mansion and some of the darker rides at Disneyland, which maze do you think they should start with this year?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Trick or Treat.
Trick-or-treat.
And the reason is that maze embodies the spirit of Halloween and all things haunted. Like, that's the Green Witch's home. And I think that maze is a very good representation of the event as a whole. Because that's what we're trying to do. We want people, when they walk in the gates of Knott's, to feel like this is where, I mean, this is Halloween. This is what it's all about.
And welcome! Welcome to Knott's Scary Farm 2016 Preview! Tonight, we're going to tell you everything at Knott's Scary Farm. Well, welcome, everybody. Are you ready to find out what's on tap this year for Knott's Scary Farm? Thank you all for coming out tonight. Is there any better way to spend a Thursday night than talking about Halloween? I am Jeff Tucker. Welcome. We're being streamed live around the globe. So welcome, everybody, looking and watching and thinking and hoping. And everything is going to be fantastic this year. All right, let me get through my notes here. Your patience has paid off. We're going to tell you everything. I've said that before, right? But I really mean it tonight. All right. No more stay tuned. That's right. All right. So first up, in 2016, we're going to talk about the shows. And our first show, well, she needs no introduction.
Hello, darling. I'm back. That's right, it's Lou and me, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and I'm back for another spooky-tacular extravaganza. That's right, this year at Knott's Scary Farm, it'll be me doing my new show, Elvira and Spookon. See you there, and...
Dream. Any Elvira fans in the house tonight? Isn't Halloween like the greatest holiday ever? Like, when I was a kid, that's all I could dream of was Halloween. And Knott's Scary Farm has found a way to stretch. It's no longer one night. It's a whole bunch of nights.
We got ourselves a new stage. And a new chapter in justice. Good citizens of Calico, I ask you, are you ready for a hanging? I said, are you ready for a hanging?
The lawman, everybody, returns in Finding Glory. Our brand new Calico Mind James. Just keep killing. All right. All right. Now we're going to talk about, are you ready? We're haunting again. The Scare Zones of 2016. Let's talk about some of the Scare Zones. The first one up is Fiesta de los Muertos. The night where the veil between the living and the dead is the thinnest. More monsters, more scares right in Fiesta Village. Also, Carnivore. The Scare Zone, they said, would never happen. It's too big, it's too bright. And the clowns own it. I don't know anybody that walks through there that isn't terrified of the clowns of Carnivore. And where Knott's Scary Farm was born, right here on the streets of Ghost Town. Those streets are where the screams begin, trust me. All right, here we go. All right, we're going to talk about, you ready for what's returning for 2016? Please welcome the designers of Knott's Scary Farm, the men behind the madness, John Cook, Daniel Miller, and Gus Brugner. All right, so we're going to talk about returning mazes, and the first one up, if you'll cast your eye right here, they will tell you. The Tooth Fairy from the Demented Mind, Daniel Miller.
Everyone hates going to the dentist. The bright light on your face, that high-pitched whine, that uncomfortable chair, all those weird people looking into your teeth and tapping, it's just horrible. Also, there's the legend of the Tooth Fairy, which is also creepy. This little thing fluttering outside your window, creeping into your children's bedroom and stealing their teeth. So, I really want to combine these two, smash them into one maze, and that's where the impetus was for the Tooth Fairy. So, we follow an abducted kid into the lair of the Tooth Fairy, and we see him change into one of her minions. It's really gross, it's disgusting, it's
You were telling me earlier, Daniel, that there's a lot of early exits out of the space, that people get a couple of rooms in and they gotta get out.
Yeah, definitely. Usually right by the second room, they start to hear that high-pitched squeal from the drill, and they're out of there.
And that's what we love. Right, the next returning maze right here on the screens. Watch.
Gunslinger! Yeah. We killed your wife. We could have killed you too, but it was more fun to watch you cry like a baby. You gonna hunt down the Red Hand Gang to the last man? Well, I'm all that's left. Gunslinger, there's something you don't understand. This is bigger than the Red Hand Gang. There are forces at work here that you will never... Like I was saying, there are forces at work that you don't understand.
Looks like I'm gonna need some silver bullets.
Gunslinger's great weapon rises from the mind of Dust Kruger.
That's right, kiddies. The gunslinger is back. The baddest gunslinger of the West is back, and he's facing off against a horde of monstrous werewolves, hell-bent on destroying the old West and everybody in it. You're going to travel back to that wonderful old West town. You're going to see the worst, most disgusting bandits you've ever found, the hairiest and scariest werewolves at Knott's Berry Farm, until you face off against the skinwalkers themselves who started this whole mess. It's going to be a hoot, a holler, and a whole lot of screams as the blood moon rises over Knott's Berry Farm.
Because this is, we were talking earlier, this was an interesting maze because it started out as Gunslinger's Grave, and then you get to add this layer to it. What's it like to like take a maze you've already done and then add a layer to it?
Well, honestly, Gunslinger was the first maze that I designed start to finish, and I just love the concept. And, you know, generally our mazes have fairly short life cycles, but I really wanted to be able to continue the story because it meant so much to me. So what I did was I took... The first couple of years, I wanted to differentiate it from Knott's and have it just despicable, evil people doing horrible things. But then I wanted to take that story and turn it into a more of a Knott's scary farm supernatural aspect. And that's when I brought out the werewolves, because we haven't really done werewolves in such a long time in a maze, and I really wanted to do them justice and have a lot of fun with it, and, you know, kill a lot of people.
Yeah. That's a good day of work, right?
That is a Tuesday.
All right. All right, you ready for one more? Watch the screen. Who knew Order of the Serpents? Under the guiding hand of the man in the jacket, John Cook, everybody.
Since the 1700s, there's been a dark force brewing in the swamps of Louisiana. And at the heart of this darkness, there's a woman, Marie Laveau. And for those who are seeking out Marie Laveau, there's a man, a gatekeeper, who can help you along your journey. But you must be warned, if you go searching for dark magic's gonna find you.
Yeah. Again, we were talking earlier, this maze is interesting, it has no walls.
Yeah, what's interesting, you're not actually walking through a maze, you're more walking through the ecosystem, really. There's no walls in here, it's an actual, you know, swamp that we have. We have the actual water that you're walking over on all the docks. You're walking over water, there's little buildings, and then all the trees and dirt. It's an ecosystem.
It's an ecosystem. Think about that when you're walking through voodoo.
And I think, all the leftover snacks left from the monsters, there's actually like a thriving ecosystem inside that maze.
So we're doing good work. All right. Let's do another one, shall we? Let's take a trip to the end of the street.
Everyone loves Halloween, and when I was a kid, I have a very fond memory of dressing up in a cardboard robot suit, taking my pillowcase and going from door to door with my brothers, trick-or-treating and filling that bag with candy. But we always remember that there was, at the end of the street, this rickety old house, and we always would dare each other who's going to push the button and ring the doorbell. So we always had the vision that there was a witch at the end of that doorbell. And that was always the impetus of what Trick or Treat is about. It's classic Halloween. It's the Green Witch and her tricksters, and there's more treats. There's more tricks than treats.
Right. And what's great about it is that a lot of times when you go to these to our events, we lose sight of the holiday itself. So this is a Halloween-themed maze. So you get pumpkins and carving, and sometimes carving not just pumpkins, but, you know, children. But hey, it's great, right? It's all good. It's all good, right?
It's essential Halloween, but beyond that, it's also pretty gory and grim, so.
We love that. You like gory and grim? All right, how about one more? Let's do it.
Show yourself. You guys need to laugh back. Guys, I'm really not feeling good.
Any paranormal fans in the house? There's the guy, John Cook, everybody.
In just a few weeks, we're going to be opening up the gates to the Hayden Hill Sanitarium for another live episode of Paranormal Inc. Chad and the gang are detonating their experimental ghost pod in hopes to find concrete scientific evidence of the paranormal. Through different EVPs, spikes in the electromagnetic field, and sudden drops in temperature, this is all evidence that's being built to prove that there is, in fact, life after death.
Yeah, and it's all based on fact, isn't it? That's the scary part.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. John Cook, everybody, you love it. All right, I think we have one more. One more returning base to talk about. Get a winner of Wendigo's Revenge. We go to Daniel Miller right there in the middle.
Well, I think you guys need to know that tonight this is an exclusive. So this is the very first time that we've announced that Dead of Winter, Wendigo's Revenge, is a part of our room. So...
it's part of the stuff, guys.
It's part of the stuff. I took the reins from Gus Kruger last year, and I'm going to take it and put my own spin on it. This year, as you saw in the video, the Queen is dead. And her beasts and minions have ripped her apart. One thing I do want to say is that there's four new rooms in this. There's a new facade. It's much gorier and darker than it's ever been. So it's a whole new experience this year.
We should say that a lot of haunt mazes in the second or third year are moved over to another designer just so they can put their own spin on it. So it's not like, it's just got two designers in it to make it twice as gory, correct? And what the heck's a Wendigo?
After last year, we started talking about what we wanted to do next with Dead of Winter, sort of like, you know, the Gunslinger, what's next for that. Daniel and I collaborated on it, and we came up with some stuff, and then he had such a strong vision of where he wanted to take it, it only seemed right to pass the torch to Daniel and just let him go crazy with it. So that's what he's done, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it in its new brutal entirety.
And Wendigo is a man, antelope, elk, And
Canadian folklore, folks.
It's a monster, eh?
It's a monster.
Okay. All right.
It's huge. It's gruesome. It's a whole new effect that we're putting in.
And you're going to come face to face with this day.
Face to face with
him. So do your homework so you recognize him when you see him.
Yes.
All right. Daniel Miller and Wendigo's Revenge, everybody. All right. And now for something completely different. Check out the screen, won't you?
What's cool about these key rooms is they're not actually part of the mazes, they're separate things. And what we're doing is we're taking the old haunt museum and now turning it into the Green Witch Museum, where you guys are going to be able to go in and investigate at your own leisure. And what's cool about this building, it's not the building that's haunted, but more so the different artifacts that surrounded the Green Witch Trials.
All right, so Visions is the first of four key rooms only available to those key holders. One-time access at the second key room is Slasher, Mr. Krueger, appropriately named.
Thanks, Jeff. So with Slasher, we wanted to take advantage of our advanced show control systems that we have here at Knott's Berry Farm and take our skeleton key pass holders and put you right in the middle of a 1980s-style slasher horror film. So you're going to come, you're going to come face to face with the Angel Maker Killer. And the only question really is, can you escape, or are you just going to be added to the list of victims?
Oh, like this guy, like, I'll apply for the job, Angel Killer. Yeah, got to get a key, sir. All right. The third room out of four is Zozo. Now, tell us about Zozo.
Zozo actually spawned from a personal story that a friend, you know, shared with me. And she is just terrified of Ouija boards, and we thought it would be really funny to take one and put it under her bed. And then we told her it was under there, and she, complete mental breakdown ensued after that. And, you know, it felt maybe a little bad, but more so just intrigued on why you are so terrified of these spirit boards. So we dug a little bit. She told us that when she was younger, her and a friend were playing with a Ouija board, and the planchette kept going back from Z to O, Z to O. Anything they'd ask, Z to O, Z to O. They didn't think anything of it. They didn't know what it meant. But she started to wake up from these intense, demonic dreams with scratches all over her. And when she Googled what this meant, she was completely petrified at what she found. And I'm not going to share what she found, but if you want to look it up, please do. But if not, come sit around the round table. You can find out for yourself if Zozo's just part of our overactive imaginations, or if there's something more to it.
Show of hands, how many people are Googling Zozo right now? 1, 2, all right. You come back to us, all right? All right, John, that sounds great. And a lot of people really believe in that stuff, so beware. All right. And the last key room, 404, is... Prey. Daniel, you want to tell us about Prey?
Farmer Ed and his beasts are hungry for blood. Enter this interactive hay maze that changes. Every 30 seconds, a new beast is released. And it is completely in the dark. The only way you can see is through a special lantern that we give you. And there's a twist. We control the lantern.
That sounds great, Daniel. Is the little girl all right?
It's a boy.
Is she okay?
It's a boy.
Torn limb from limb. All right, that's great. All right. Thank goodness the ladder's okay. There you are, John. Yeah, thanks. All right. That's Prey, everybody, in the key rooms. So they sound pretty good. They sound amazing and heart-stopping. And you can go through them one time each night with your skeleton key, and I think one time will be enough because they sound completely terrifying. Thank you, everybody. We're going to pull back the veil, we're going to pull back the cloak, we're going to put on a cape, and we're going to talk about what's brand new for 2016.
Mission Control, do you copy? Mission has been compromised. I repeat, the mission has been compromised. Send in the recruits.
Why we decided to rebrand Special Ops Infected into the all-new Black Ops Infected. At the end of last year, we were sitting down and thinking about what do we do next with this attraction, where do we go? We felt we kind of hit our limits in Camp Snoopy. So we decided that we were going to take it out of Camp Snoopy. And we're going to bring it backstage. And two really important and interesting things happened when we made that decision. The first, we have a completely blank slate. We don't have to worry about Camp Snoopy. We don't have to worry about the kids the next morning. We were able to fully build a Knott's caliber set for this. So we built an entire city for you guys to come and run through and live out your zombie warrior dreams. And it's also introduced a new dynamic. With Camp Snoopy, it was more of a long-range, you know, firefight we were having with the zombies. Now, it's basically close-quarter combat. You are face-to-face, which I really think is going to really up the adrenaline with this attraction to one step closer to that fully realized video game that we've been striving for since day one. And now, the big thing, back to that blank slate, we can also start over with operations. No longer is there a ticketing system for Infected. So more like the standard haunted attraction we have here. You just come in, jump in line, and go through and blast away some zombies.
All right, so to reiterate, it's all new, it's brand new, it's backstage, and you just have to get in line for it. And your skeleton key gives you priority access to it. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
All right. This is good. Are you ready for this?
Yeah!
This is brand new, never before revealed. Are you ready for it?
Yeah!
They're ready for it. Kill the lights.
Wait, what?
Thank you.
feudal Japan, there is one thing that's held in a higher regard than life itself, and that is honor. In this maze, we're going to follow the footsteps of a disgraced samurai on his quest to redeem his honor through death. Upon death, his soul is released into the gloomy shadowlands. Lurking around every corner are different creatures, ghosts, and spirits pulled straight from the pages of Japanese folklore. And now we got to find out, are we going to be trapped? Are we going to find what we're looking for? And that is a glorious, glorious death on the battlefield.
John, what was your inspiration for Shadowlands?
I've been fortunate enough to travel to Japan a few times, and I'm always captivated in complete awe of the architecture and the different traditions, even down to the graveyards. They just have such a beautiful aesthetic to them. And on top of that, there are just so many amazing stories, ghosts, and creatures from the folklore that lend themselves so well to a haunted attraction. So what we did is we created this realm, this Shadowlands, for all these different stories to come together and exist on a single plane for you guys to be able to walk through.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Cook at Shadowlands. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Now, at this point, if I said, hey, we're going to wrap it up and say goodnight, that would be enough, right?
No!
How about something else that's new?
One, two, three.
One amazing designer on a maze is two amazing designers on a maze, Gus Gruger and Daniel Miller for the Red Barn.
Well, let me tell you about the Red Barn. The great man's got a blood-soaked barn sitting on the edge of Calico for the last 150 years. You gotta watch your step when you get a little close, though, because if the great man doesn't get you, one of his sadistic sons will, and they'll take you. They love grabbing unwitting travelers and using them for their own sadistic purposes.
The Red Barn is an homage to the 1970s grindhouse horror films. It's grisly, it's gross, it's filled with demonic pigs, horrible hillbillies, and chainsaws.
One thing's for sure, that video didn't lie. Watch your step, because if you enter the Red Barn, you don't leave.
And it's backstage. That leaves the entire front of the park ready and ripe for a brand new scare zone, the Hollow! Journey back into American folklore and discover the Headless Horseman's undead army. Witches, apparitions, and more are lurking in 6 acres of the
like to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you want to check out any of our other shows, Roxy's World, Demon Jane's Podcast, and Kirby Cutie Chat, all you need to do is go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google Plus, Tumblr, and Pinterest. I heard Google Plus is going away this week. Did you guys hear about that? Just go to creepykingdom.com. And if you are a Facebook user, and consider becoming a citizen of the Creepy Kingdom. That is our private Facebook group. And if you're on Facebook, why not be a part of the group? And lastly, if you want to support us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by becoming a patron at Patreon. That's patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, we're inching our way to episode 100. Next one is 99. Then 100 comes. And then it's a dawn of a new era of Creepy Kingdom. So until next time.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.